At Avocado, we know that not all mattresses are created equal. While other beds trap heat, ours sets it free. Made without polyurethane foams and crafted with natural latex, cotton, and wool. Breathable, comfortable, and supportive. No overheating, just clean, organic sleep that performs. Save 15% on our award-winning mattresses this July 4th sale. Avocado, celebrate organic. Shop at avocadomattress.com or leading retailers nationwide.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
The IMF has warned that AI could impact more than 40% of all jobs in Ireland and says the country should increase local property taxes, rein in discount VAT rates like the one for restaurants, and pull more lower paid workers into the tax net. In a moment, we'll talk to Adrian Weckler, technology editor with the Irish Independent, to get the lowdown on how AI could impact us here. But first off, to look at the general economic advice, we are joined by Edgar Morgan-Roth, Professor of Economics at DCU Business School. Edgar, a little bit of a rap on the knuckles from the IMF for how we are running our economy, I think it's fair to say.
Yes, I guess they're warning about a number of things. None of the warnings, I have to say, are new. We've heard most of these before. I guess what's perhaps new is that we are getting it from an outside agency, one that not all that long ago had sought out our financial crisis. So from that point of view, it's obviously important to listen to them.
Yeah, the by-elections are just gone, and I think there was about 100 people running in Galway. I exaggerate, but only slightly. And there was over a dozen running in Dublin Central. I didn't hear one of them saying we need to broaden our tax base. We need to reverse the VAT cut for restaurants. We need to increase the property tax. We need to bring more lower paid workers into the tax net. I mean, economically, I'd say the IMF are spot on. Politically, there's not a prayer of any of this happening.
Taxes are not popular. I don't like paying taxes either, and I'm sure you don't either. So, you know, they're never popular, but you know, a country and a state has to get revenue to spend. And at the moment, what we're seeing, and again, the IMF has pointed to this, significant spending overruns, particularly in current spending. So not you know, once the money is spent, it doesn't yield more kind of benefits. And they say we should spend more on infrastructure, which will help us also deal with our housing problem, which again, they raise. And none of these are new, but, you know, we don't seem to listen and do anything about it. Yeah, you can play the populist game and say, well, we don't have to have taxes. We can abolish taxes. It's all great. But there are quite a few dark clouds on the horizon, and you know, while often nothing happens, sometimes it does. We've seen this with the financial crisis, and when it does, you find yourself as a state without money, and then you have to cut, and that wasn't popular either, and not very, very nice.
So those politicians who are talking about taking more people out of the tax net, who are talking about cutting inheritance tax, who are talking about cutting capital gains tax, who are talking about reducing maybe the property tax or even in some cases abolishing it. Are they being irresponsible in your view?
To a degree, yes. I think when you look at the Irish tax system, we're basically relying on three taxes: VAT, income tax, and corporation tax. And the government has been very lucky that corporation tax receipts have been almost inexplicably good. And if one of these tax headings gets hit in any way at all, we have real problems in paying for some of our basic services. And so that's why the IMF and others have said we need to broaden the tax base. They're not saying that we necessarily need to tax more, so we don't necessarily have to raise more money, but we should have a more broadly based tax system. And in other countries, which have been less prone to the kind of cycles that we have had, you find that they have more tax revenue coming in from other headings other than those three that I named. So that's what they're looking for.
Okay. The problem is, I'm at risk of repeating myself here, but when during the fuel protests, I didn't hear anybody making these points. I mean, I heard economists, I heard the likes of yourself, I heard John Fitzgerald making these points. But the reaction from the public is, we're paying too much tax, spend more money, reduce USC, etc., etc.
Give us more subsidies. And ultimately, these protests were protests by a very, very small group. I mean, they weren't all farmers. I live in rural Ireland. My neighbours weren't protesting. A very small subset of people with tractors and hauliers. Both of these groups represent a very, very small a percentage of the population. And we've had some others as well, and lobby groups somehow or another. If you shout the loudest, if you cause enough inconvenience, policies made for you. But the bulk of the general public actually don't benefit from this, because someone ultimately has to pay the bills anyway. So taxes have to be raised, and taxes are raised. The marginal tax rate for income is very high for high income, more than average income earners is very high in Ireland.
Okay, Edgar Morgan-Roth, Professor of Economics at DCU Business School. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder. Adrian Weckler, Technology Editor with the Irish Independent. Are you shocked by this stat about 40% plus of jobs potentially being lost because of AI?
I'm not shocked that they raised the figure of 40%. Just important to clarify, they said that the 40% of jobs might be affected in Ireland rather than lost. Fair. That's a key distinction, because if you look at the unemployment rate in Ireland over the last 2.5 years when we've had AI models, it hasn't really ticked up. That's the first thing. If your job is affected by AI, doesn't mean you'll be unemployed, but it might mean that you might have to change your job, or your job is going to change. There's a couple of reasons for this. We all saw the headlines around Meta last week. So that's quite a lot of jobs at risk there, 350. That company encapsulates perfectly what's going on among the big employers. And it's two things. Number one, they are introducing some AI processes to replace the work that some of those workers do. Mark Zuckerberg said it himself. He said earlier this year that we're now seeing a talented individual do the work that used to take a big team. But the other big thing is, despite them making loads of money, their last earnings statements show they're made $27 billion in the first 3 months of this year, which is a massive amount of money. They're going to spend over $100 billion on AI infrastructure, data centers, expensive chips from NVIDIA, stuff like that. So all of that money has to come from savings or their profits. And that's another reason why they're getting rid of people.
Okay. We are obviously very dependent on foreign multinationals in the technology sector for our taxes, for income tax, and also for employment. How worried should we be, do you think?
We should be, on a scale of 1 into 10, at least a 6, maybe a 7, and maybe an 8. You're right about the tax. I mean, there was that famous Irish Fiscal Advisory Council report showing that just three companies, only three, Microsoft, Apple and Eli Lilly, account for 46% of all of our corporate taxes. And they also said, by the way, that the underlying deficit in Ireland, in other words, if you strip out the windfall taxes we make from companies like that, we actually don't make enough to pay for our hospitals and our roads. There's a widening deficit. So we should be very, very worried. The only thing I would say, and this has gone under the radar, is that an awful lot of AI sort of projects that companies in Ireland are doing, they fail. So, I mean, in the last 6 to 12 months, Irish companies have lost €720 million in failed AI projects. Another very large survey the other week from William Fry showed that only 11% of the really big companies that have invested in AI have seen any return at all. So there's a lot of flops going on. So it's not a given that if your employer introduces AI or an AI agent, that your job is necessarily going to go, or if it does go, that they won't try and rehire you in a few months' time.
Okay. There does seem to be an issue. Like, somebody's texting to say, can we not adapt with AI? We adapt all the time, even at a very basic level. Machinery made us adapt. Can we not do this again? And I think that was the point you were making at the outside, that some of these jobs could be complemented by AI. But it does seem like graduate level employment is already being impacted by AI. Yeah. A lot of jobs that would have been filled by graduates, and it was a great way of getting experience and moving up the ladder, that those jobs are now being done by AI.
Yeah, that to me is one of the most serious concerns arising from AI, a couple of different areas. So if you are in the engineering or the software programming business, if that's what you studied at college, and if you're a graduate, you look at the big tech employers that we've just been talking about, most of their code is now not written by humans. It's just reviewed by humans, and that knocks out some graduate jobs. You look at the big consulting firms, the big accountancy firms, that is one of the areas that AI is attacking in the sharpest way. The first thing that a small business is going to do when they hear about potential AI stuff for their business is, oh, that can do my books. And so that's going to be a threat. That, again, could affect graduates or hiring younger people to get experience. So that's a very serious problem.
You put the level of concern we should have at 6, 7, or maybe 8 out of 10. Is that felt at official level, or are we kind of sleepwalking a little bit through this?
When I engage with senior officials, they always say something like, well, you know, look at what the IDA is doing. I caught up with the head of the IDA a couple of months ago and asked him about this. And he said, well, you just have to look at our pipeline. And soon after that, you started seeing like Anthropic, which is one of the big AI companies, announced 200 extra jobs in Dublin. OpenAI, which is, as we know, is the parent company of ChatGPT, likely to expand its office here. Other smaller AI firms like Harvey AI opening office here. So what's very clear to me is that the government stroke IDA are doubling down on FDI, foreign direct investments. And they're saying, okay, well, if this is the way the whole industry is going to go and the economy is going to go with AI, let's get those AI companies in to the extent that Dublin is now the city where all of the big AI companies have established their regulatory hubs. So that looks like the strategy. If some of those other jobs are going to go, we're going to try and get any jobs from the AI firms themselves.
Okay, Adrian Weckler, as always, thank you indeed for talking to the Hard Shoulder. Adrian Weckler, their technology editor with the Irish Independent. Colin says, our economy won't survive in the form we know it if AI is allowed to affect 40% of jobs. Make no mistake, it's replacing employment. We can't retrain faster than AI can train. There are projections that by 2050, 90% of jobs will be replaced by AI and robotics. The European Union needs to step in and protect workers. I don't know, can they do that? Can you stop progress, however much we mightn't like it? Is it like, you know, trying to stop the printing press or the loom or all the various technological innovations over the years? I'm not sure. I hear what you're saying, Colm, and I'm sympathetic to it, but I'm not sure it is possible. Clive has got in touch and said, I'm a high earner. I completely understand the tax required to run the country. I don't expect to not pay more than half my salary in tax, but the USC really irks me. It was introduced as an emergency measure in a crisis. It continues to exist. Remove it and up the tax band if you wish, but at least stick to your word of an emergency measure, says Clive. I hear you, Clive. I know what you're saying. It raises $5 billion a year. It's not going anywhere. It was brought in because half of people were paying no income tax at all, half of workers. And this was a way to try and get people to pay something. The problem is more and more people are once again being taken out of the tax net. I think it's a third of workers now pay no tax. And that's why people like the IMF are calling for us to broaden our tax base. Keep the tax coming in.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.